That's right. She is right here, right now on WGN. Hi, Karen Conti.
Hello, Steve Dale.
Oh, let me say that again.
Hello, Steve Dale.
That was good. So I need to tell you something before we talk about some serious issues here. And to me, this is a serious issue, a shocking issue that may change my life. A consumer is suing candy maker Mars, alleging that Skittles contains a known toxin. Can you believe that?
Oh, no.
Unfit for human consumption.
No, say it isn't so.
I know. In a lawsuit seeking a class action status filed in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California on Thursday this past week, attorneys for San Leandro, California resident Janelle Thames said that Skittles are unsafe for people because they contain, quote, heightened levels of titanium dioxide, whatever that is. Doesn't sound like it's something I'd want. Mars uses, they say this, to produce Skittles, titanium dioxide, and a well-known array of artificial colors. In 2016, the candy maker publicly shared its intention to remove titanium dioxide from its products in the coming years. What have I been eating? In a statement sent by Mars to Today and several other news outlets, the company said, well, we do not comment on pending legislation or litigation. Our use of titanium dioxide complies with FDA regulations. And what I didn't know is Skittles, Starburst, and Lifesaver gummies were recalled just this in May.
Wow.
I know.
And why did it take so long for us to figure this out? I mean, Skittles have been around for a while.
Well, allegedly figure this out, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes. I'll be you.
Yes.
Why do they always say that? Does that really make a difference?
Not really, but everyone's afraid of getting sued, of course.
So if you just say allegedly, I'm safe?
I kind of.
So if I say, Karen Connie is the worst person, allegedly, I'm okay.
That's okay, but please don't say it.
And I won't, because you're not at all. You're one of the smartest people I know, and I'm coming to you for this advice. So I've been saying for a very long time, and I've had aldermen sitting right exactly where you're sitting, and they agree with me in most cases, where, you know, the carjackers and some of the other criminals are 16, 14, 13, 12 years old.
There was an 11-year-old the other day. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Charged, 11 years old.
11 years. This kid is a kid,
yeah.
First of all, and how does he or she reach the steering wheel, you know? So they're carjacking at that age, which means they have a gun, usually maybe a knife, maybe guns, plural, probably illegally. They're not charged as adults. I understand that. Why can't their parents be charged?
Well, they can be. Parents can be charged for the crimes of their underaged children. But the courts just, the prosecutors don't really like to do that. Why? I don't know. The parent would have to know what the child is doing. The parent would have to have some sort of knowledge that the child was going to do this kind of thing.
Well, and I think I'm interrupting only because,
yeah.
All right, you're a parent. I'm just saying, just for theoretically, you're a parent. If you don't know where your 12-year-old
right.
is, isn't that part of your job?
Well, exactly. And we're seeing this now. I know we're going to talk about the mass shootings and all
yeah.
that kind of thing. But it's true. How do you not know your child has an arsenal of guns in his room?
Exactly.
I mean, it's one thing not to want to go into your son's room for obvious reasons when you're a parent. Namely, dirty laundry.
Okay, so you're saying going into the daughter's room is okay.
Well, not always.
Not the son.
You know, my dad used to say, I need a tetanus shot to watch, tetanus shot to walk into your room. They really don't like to do that. I think you see this in some cases where kids are doing underage drinking and they go out and they hurt somebody. You do see that occasionally charges getting brought, but they just don't like to do it. They don't.
Why, do you think? Or you just have no idea?
I my guess is that we're in a society where some of the parents are in disadvantaged homes. They have enough going on. They have mental illness issues themselves, their children themselves. And what are you going to do, put the parent in jail and without, you know, and the kids then have to fend for themselves or go into foster care? I think there are some of those considerations. But I do think there is a time and place to charge parents. I do.
And if not charge them where they land in jail, do something so we encourage. So let me back up a step. And they say that part of the problem right now in Chicago is that our state's attorney, and this is my line, is more like a public defender in some ways. She is not charging, just in general, enough where she could to the fullest extent of the law. Do you think that's part of the issue?
I do think that's part of the issue, and especially now that a crime is soaring and we see all these crimes and we're afraid to walk out of our door. I do see the point in this new progressive kind of prosecution. And I know people are saying, oh, here's the liberal lawyer Karen coming out. But there is a problem with people committing violence. And when you incarcerate people for long periods of time, that doesn't necessarily calm the crime down. What you need to do is look at the cause of it. And again, that's a big question. How do you do that? Poverty, hopelessness, gang wars. Gangs are now fighting not about drugs. They're fighting about you called me this and you called me that and you called my girlfriend this and the rap lyric. All these things are going on, and there are neighborhood mediators going and trying to solve those problems. But when it comes to someone who's violent and when it comes to someone with a gun, I'm all for charging him and throwing him in jail for as long as we possibly can.
And I understand what you're saying and agree with it, actually. But the other side of the coin could be that if, and again, I've had aldermen say that this is a concern of theirs, is that right now they see there are no repercussions for what happens. So that 15-year-old carjacks a car, and that 15-year-old is back on the street in 2 hours. I go through, and I've not done this, but the speed limits where it's 5 miles over or whatever, it could happen to me tomorrow. It can happen to anyone because it's some of them are hidden, the speed zones, the speed cameras and everything. It's crazy. And I will definitely have to pay that fine. And if I don't, I have to pay the triple the fine or quadruple
or
whatever.
Most people are motivated by deterrence. You know, most people don't kill to make money or to because it's easier than divorce. Most people do that. Why? No one wants to go to jail. But there are certain people who just are not deterred by this kind of thing. And when you're 11 years old, you have no concept. If your daddy is in jail and your brother's in jail and everyone is, it's almost like a badge of honor. I mean, you know, that whole thing with putting your pants down around your hips and not having shoelaces, that's the perp walk. That's from jail. That's where they get it, because they take away your belts and your shoelaces. So they're emulating a prison culture. So to say that this would deter them, I get it. I understand that. I can especially see that, Steve, when it comes to some of this looting that goes on, where they go into the Gucci store and you see people in groups rob and do that kind of stuff, and there's no ramifications. I get that. That's one that I think if you prosecuted, you got all of those people and you put them in jail, that might stop or at least slow down the crime in that regard. But sometimes the murder and stuff like that, and again, the older kids sometimes get the younger ones to do it knowing the kids are going to be released. So they're being made into puppets, really.
Yeah, I think that's happening now in Chicago.
Yep.
And apparently it is a badge of honor to carjack, and if you want to be in my gang, this is what I want you to do. And now carjacking is on the list, unfortunately. I want to talk about those mass murders, not only the one in Highland Park, but others as well. And similarly, should parents be held responsible, and much more, with Karen Conti. And a lot more to talk about, because you're having, on WGN today after 3 o'clock, you're talking about some interesting topics, including the Wrigley Field ADA lawsuit. I want to talk to you a little about that as well.
Okay.
When we come back on
WGN.
I knew you knew. Well, that's me back on WGN 12 minutes before 3 o'clock. After 3 o'clock, it's the Karen Conti program on WGN. Karen is in the studio, and if you know and you listen to WGN, you know she's our legal analyst. And after the horrific shooting, and I don't know the right word to even describe, I don't even think that's a strong enough term to describe what happened in Highland Park, and the father of Robert Cremo Jr., said, it's okay, you can get a gun, and you can get whatever gun. It's called the Illinois Firearms Owner's Identification Card. Robert Cremo Sr. signed for his son and said, it's fine, even though it seemed to me there were lots of red flags, including he had a whole collection of knives and threatened to use them against his family. It's all been well documented. You've probably have heard about all of that on WGN. My question to you, Karen, can we hold the father responsible for signing that piece of paper?
Well, from a criminal standpoint, it's really hard to charge a parent for the adult criminal acts of the adult child. You are probably almost never responsible for someone else's acts unless you intentionally aid and abet that person. So what the facts would have to be would be the father would have to have known he was gathering this arsenal for the purpose of going out and shooting people. He would have to have somehow not only just gotten him the gun, but allowed him to maybe use a car, etc.
Could that argument be made in a way because he had a history of threatening others?
I agree with you. It's a case that I just know that the prosecutors, they have to know that they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, and I think this one falls just short of that. But just short of that, because if someone's saying, I'm going to kill myself and others, he tried to kill himself with a machete.
Yes.
He had an arsenal of knives. He said he was depressed. He had made threatening comments before. There was domestic violence all over the place, and he signs it for his kid. I don't know where someone comes from with that. I just don't. I don't have any sympathy really for him. I'm sorry to say that.
No, you shouldn't be sorry to say that.
But
I don't either.
I just don't know unless the prosecution is going to make him into some sort of example and charge him with something. But I doubt it. Steve, I really doubt those charges are going to be brought.
Well, if they could do it in Michigan, why not here?
That was a different story because the kid was 15, as you remember, and he was in school. And the school and the counselors were all saying, look at this kid is drawing horrible pictures and saying all this stuff. And even with that, the parents kind of just fluffed it all off and left the gun unlocked for the kid to use. So it was different because he was a minor.
That alone makes enough of a
difference. That alone makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. How about the families of some that have lost their lives? Can they go back in a civil suit and sue him or sue the family? I mean, Bobby Cremo Jr., the shooter, they can't. What is there to go after? I'm sure
right.
He has nothing. But maybe the parents have something. And
there's absolute liability, Steve, because when you sign a FOID card for a minor, there's the last phrase on the document says, I understand that I will be liable for all actions and damages resulting.
Is he a minor?
Well, that's a good question, because he was a minor at the time, but not now. So the question is, but that FOID card allowed him, I believe, to buy at least some of the guns that he had. So that's a good question. But in any event, he probably will be civilly liable because the standard is so much less in a civil case. But again, how much in damages could this be? 7 people dead? We're talking about millions of dollars and 30 people injured. And even if he had homeowners insurance that could arguably cover this kind of gun violence, how much would your policy be worth? $1 million? $2 million? So I think there's going to be maybe lawsuits against other people. Lawyers will find deep pockets. You know, was there enough security on the parade route? Will the will Highland Park be sued? You know, that's the kind of thing.
That would be unfortunate, though.
It would be unfortunate. But, you know, when people are angry and people, when these tragic things happen, I mean, think about the most innocent thing you can imagine, most Americana of all things. You're at a 4th of July parade.
Why can't we sue Congress for allowing automatic weapons in the first place?
I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
But you can.
I'm just not going to argue with you on that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, we just say there's going to be change, there needs to be change, and then we're back to the next mass shooting.
What about red flags? I mean, there seem to be red flags here. You described some of those. And I know you're familiar with red flags in general. This whole story, so it's not only mass shooters. So maybe Bobby Cremo Jr. wouldn't have been a mass shooter. He would have done something else based on his history. Take his name out of the picture. Someone who does the kinds of things that he did do. It's not allegedly. We've seen these things. Or we know about that, like the whole collection of knives that he was going to use against family members, the threat of suicide, the scary art, I don't know what you call it, on the wall of where his parents lived, the lyrics of his song, some of his videos on social media, all and more. All of that seems to be a red flag or red flags. If it wasn't mass shooting, it could have been a shooting. It could have been suicide. It could have been violence in other ways to other people.
Or even to the parents.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Which he had threatened before.
Mm-hmm.
So What do we do to get us to pay attention to these red flags? And are these red flags truly red flags?
Well, I have a guest coming on who is one of the foremost experts in the nation on the issue of the psychology of mass shooters. And he has put together all of the data from shootings for the last 20 years. And he's going to tell me why people don't report, because that's part of the problem. Why is it that this parent didn't call this, instead of buying him a gun or signing for the gun, why didn't he call the state police and say, red flag law, take these guns away from this kid because he's going to do something? And I don't know if it's embarrassment, societal embarrassment, familial concerns, or maybe, I mean, who knows? But I'm going to find out from the psychologist because I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, ignorance maybe, just people don't know. And they also don't know where to report it to. And there's also something else to ask your guest. Sometimes it's reported and then just falls through the cracks.
Exactly. But hopefully now that's going to happen less and less, I would think.
And one of those red flags, it turns out to be, and you and I have talked about this before, animal abuse.
Yes.
Animal violence in some ways does beget violence, and not necessarily mass shooting, although yes, maybe mass shooting, but begets domestic violence or other violence.
I see it all the time, and we did talk about this. You actually have a form on the order of protection that protects your animal, because what will an abusive person do? They'll threaten to take your phone away, they'll threaten to take your money away, isolate you from your friends, and take what matters most, your child, mm-hmm. your dog.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's the step they do before they commit the act of violence.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why we have to find ways, more and more ways, for people to not only be able to report the violence, but also be able to escape it. It's one thing to know that it's happening to you, which I can't fathom, of course, and we're talking mostly women here if we're talking domestic violence. Could be elder abuse, too. But then the entire family has to have a safe place to go, and dogs and cats are considered part of the family.
Absolutely. And you know, when you are in an abusive situation, you have a list of reasons why you can't leave.
Yeah.
I love him. No one else will love me. I can't afford it. My child needs a father. My parents don't believe me. I don't have a job. You know, you can go on, and the last thing that a person who's being abused is another reason not to go. That's
yeah.
And so if you can provide that safe haven, that's just a step in the right direction, I think.
Tell me what's going on at Wrigley Field that you'll be talking about.
Well, you know, there was a lawsuit brought by the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is an unusual situation. Sometimes you see class actions, or you see a single plaintiff who might be disabled bring a lawsuit against a public accommodation saying that perhaps the ADA, American with Disabilities Act, is not being complied with. But here the U.S. Attorney's Office brought it. So it seems to me it rises to a level that's a little more serious. My guest is really on the forefront of that. He's an attorney who works for a nonprofit that deals with these issues. And he's going to talk a little bit about the specific allegations. I think one of them, Steve, is that when you are a disabled person, they sometimes put you in the back because there's no place to wheel you into the front. And of course, when people stand up, which they do, standing room only, or people are cheering,
yeah.
they can't see anything.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. And I don't know if there are other ramps and other issues. But the thing that I want to know is when they've been doing this renovation for a number of years, right?
Yes.
Why didn't they have an expert
yes.
opine about
yes.
how to get this done?
And don't they have to? I mean, if I even, for our condo building, if we want to change some things, not necessarily inside the units, but outside, mm-hmm. we have to adhere to ADA regulations. I mean, why doesn't Wrigley Field? We'll find out, I guess.
We will find out.
Karen Conti, always. Sounds like a great show. And thank you.
Sure. Am I getting paid overtime for this?
I got to go.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.